Welcome to The Food Teacher on UK Health Radio, the show about food and your health.
Today's show promises to be absolutely fascinating and relevant for every single one of us, whether you know you don't tolerate gluten well or you're a diagnosed celiac. I've interviewed Dr. Tom O'Brien, one of the world's leading experts in gluten sensitivity and autoimmunity, and he's going to be telling us all about what gluten does in the body and how it can affect everyone, its potential impact on child development, and also the link with autoimmune disease. That will all be coming up a little later in the show. I thought I'd start today's show by talking to two individuals, Janine and Tim. They've both chosen to remove gluten from their diet, and in doing so, they've transformed their health. Enjoy their stories. So, hi Janine, it's great to speak to you on UK Health Radio, and I'd like to ask you about gluten and how gluten affected your health. What was the potential trigger that made you give up gluten, and then how did it transform your health?
Well, gluten wasn't really something I was thinking about. I was more concerned about the fact I was feeling really tired, you know, that crashing tiredness you can get in the afternoon. Kind of like when you've got very young kids. So I was concerned about the tiredness, but I was also concerned about the fact that for years I carried lots of weight around my middle. And I just suddenly thought one day, well, I go to the gym four times a week. Okay. I have done for more than 2 years. I shouldn't have this. So I was just looking into alternative ways. And I saw on a Facebook page that there was this nutritionist who was talking about hormones and how hormone issues, if you're sort of out of whack and unbalanced, can affect you in lots of different ways. So I started this 30-day program, and part of it was a 30-day program where you eliminated dairy, gluten, sugar. So I was about 3 weeks into it, so I'd given up gluten, not thinking it was an issue at all. And I realised I was starting to feel better, weight was going off around the middle, and I think I'd gone into a shop, and I just the night before I thought, well, I'll have some naan bread with a curry. Okay. Because I'd done really well for 3 weeks, so I hadn't, you know, I'd eliminated everything. And I was in this shop and I was about to buy something, and I couldn't remember my PIN number at all. So the same PIN number I'd had for 30 years, couldn't remember it at all. So I said, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to just go and get some money from the bank. And so I went and came back and I said, that's really embarrassing. I've never forgotten my PIN number before. And I think I've left my sunglasses as well. And she went, no, they're on your head. So, and I thought, that's really weird. I feel like I've got dementia. But it was brain fog brought on by the bread I'd had. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's really odd. And then that was followed up by a guy at the gym who said, what have you been doing lately? Because obviously I'd eliminated stuff for 3 years. He says, what have you been doing? He says, you look completely different. Your shape has changed and you look taller. So I suddenly thought, well, something has happened. And so I started Googling about sort of brain fog and weight and stuff. And then it was saying about all the side effects of gluten, if you've got a sensitivity to gluten, yeah, and how it can affect you. And I thought, well, maybe I have got a gluten problem. So my sister's got celiac disease, but okay, you know, when if she has gluten, it's like arsenic, it's really, really bad. Whereas for me, I think it's more the fact that it's like kryptonite, it completely sucks all your energy, yeah, out of you. So it's not like I have terrible stomach pains or anything like that, just the crashing tiredness, a lot of sinus infections and so forth. So it was the 30-day program with an elimination that actually alerted me to the fact that gluten is actually a problem when I hadn't thought it at all. Wow. So it's unexpected.
Thanks, Janine. It's really interesting to hear your story and the link to gluten. Next, we're going to be talking to Tim, who's going to tell us a little bit about how gluten has affected him and his health. And then coming up later in the show, we've got Dr. Tom O'Brien.
You're listening to The Food Teacher on UK Health Radio.
So my next guest, Tim, is actually my husband and somebody that I've actually worked with as a client. So I'm going to ask Tim if he could tell us a little bit about his health before he gave up gluten. What was the trigger, aside from me, that encouraged him to change his diet, and also the impact that that's had on his health since he's done that? So welcome, Tim.
Thank you. So growing up, I had asthma as a child, And that was one of those things that was triggered by a number of different factors for me. Dust, dogs, hay fever, lots of different things sort of would get my asthma going. And that was something that I'd lived with through certainly my teen years. Then when I got into my 20s, it seemed to reduce. But over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, I'd seen the asthma come back again and couldn't really understand why. Also, we'd been on holiday last year, and I think it was one of those places that was very gluten heavy, lots of bread, lots of pastries, all the bad things that you tend to eat on holiday, put on a few extra pounds. And when we came home, I needed to lose a little bit of the weight, and we talked about it, and I sort of jokingly said I was going to give up sandwiches, which is one of my vices for sure. And as I did that for a few weeks, the weight came off, but also I found that my reliance on my inhaler was gone as well. And then as we started to work that through, it became quite obvious that one of the triggers for me wasn't necessarily hay fever and dust and pets, but actually the gluten was one of the significant triggers for my asthma. And having given up gluten now for over a year, I've not needed my inhaler at all, whereas I was using an inhaler every day, every other day, consistently. So I think that was the trigger for me, and the reason for now taking gluten right out of my diet, because I've just found that not only has it helped me maintain my weight, but it's also really helped me solve my asthma.
Thank you, Tim. That's really interesting. I'm sure some of the listeners will be able to relate to that. So thank you so much. It brings me great pleasure to introduce today's expert, Dr. Tom O'Brien. Tom is an internationally recognised speaker and workshop leader specialising in the complications of non-celiac gluten sensitivity, celiac disease and autoimmune disease as they occur inside and outside of the intestines. He's also the founder of thedoctor.com and the visionary behind the paradigm shifting the Gluten Summit, A Grain of Truth. If you're not familiar with this, he has created an amazing web-based resource by bringing together 29 of the world's experts on the gluten connection to diseases, disorders and a wide range of symptoms. And this can be found at theglutensummit.com. So hello, Tom.
Hello.
Oh, thank you so much for speaking to us today. It's great to talk to someone about gluten, and who better than you, the sort of the world leading expert. And I wondered if I could kick off by asking you, why are you so passionate about educating people about gluten? And was there anything in particular that led you to this field?
Well, actually, yes, there was. It was 36 years ago when my ex-wife and I, we could not get pregnant. And I was an intern at that time. Okay. And I called the 7 most famous holistic doctors I had ever heard of and asked them all, what do you do for infertility? They all told me what they do. And I put a program together and we were pregnant in 6 weeks.
Wow, that's amazing.
my neighbors in married housing, we lived on campus at the time, they had gone through artificial insemination and nothing had worked. And they'd asked if I'd work with them. And I said, well, I don't think it'll harm you in any way, of course. Let's give it a shot. And they were pregnant in 3 months.
Wow.
So I came out into my practice ready to help every couple get pregnant who wanted to get pregnant. And that morphed into infertility issues, miscarriages, recurrent miscarriages, hormonal imbalances. And we found that there was a common link in every person that was suffering with symptoms from any of those just mentioned conditions. And there's not much in medicine that's all or every, but this was every.
Wow.
Every person had a sensitivity to foods that they were eating regularly, and they did not know they had a sensitivity to that food because it didn't make them sick when they ate it. the problems occurred downstream, meaning like you throw something in a stream and it starts floating downstream, downriver, and the problem is downriver.
Okay.
And so they never knew that it was a problem with the food that they were eating that caused the symptoms they had. And every single person with hormonal imbalances had it's called a food-related disorder associated with, contributing to, and sometimes causing, being the primary cause of their problem. And the most common food that people are sensitive to, the most common food is wheat. That got me into wheat because we hear so many different pieces of information. The internet has changed the way that people think, you know, and we can get information on almost anything we want. And there is so much information about this thing is the answer, or that thing is the answer, or this is the best vitamin C, or take this type of vitamin D, or just exercise. We hear all of this information of things that do help. They do help.
Yeah.
But there are some foundational things at the base. It's called the foundation of our health. There are some basics. And the most basic of all is that every forkful of what you put in your mouth is either inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. There are no neutrals except for healthy water. That's the only neutral.
Okay.
Everything else your body responds to. So the foundation, whenever you have a health concern or a desire for better levels of health, the foundation is to make sure that what you're putting in your body is anti-inflammatory and not inflammatory. Yeah. And wheat happens to be the most common food that people are sensitive to.
Wow, goodness. And I wondered if you could explain a little bit about what gluten actually is.
You bet. Gluten is a family of proteins. So the way to look at it is that gluten is not bad for you. Bad gluten is bad for you.
Okay.
There's gluten in rice. There's gluten in corn. There's that family of proteins in corn, in rice, in quinoa, in millet, in wheat, rye, barley, oats. But it's the family of gluten proteins, and there are many in that family, of wheat, rye, and barley. Those are the ones that humans have problems with. And now we know, Harvard published a study last year that showed that every human, whether they're celiac or non-celiac, they have a problem with wheat called non-celiac gluten sensitivity, or no problems with wheat at all four categories, every human gets intestinal permeability whenever they're exposed to wheat. Every human,
okay.
All the time.
So some of the listeners might not be familiar with intestinal permeability. Could you just explain that slightly?
Sure. These are really critical concepts, and it's exciting for people to get this at an introductory level, because once you understand these concepts, then it makes sense how you want to protect your health and the health of your family.
Definitely. Yeah.
So what is intestinal permeability? So let me give you an overview. Mrs. Patient, your intestines are a tube. The tube is 20, 25 feet long. It starts in the mouth, goes to the other end. Think of a donut. If you were to stretch out a donut, just stretch it out, one big, long donut, and you look down the center of the hole, that's the tube. So when you eat food and when you swallow food, it's in the tube. It's not really in your body. It's got to go through the walls of the donut to get into the bloodstream. So once we understand that, then the question of absorption and how do we absorb our foods and our vitamins and minerals, now it starts to make sense. Absorption is going through the walls of the donut. So let's talk a little more about the donut. The inside of that tube is lined with shag carpeting. Now, what's the term in Great Britain? Carpet that's like 1 inch.
Yeah, thin. Like long pile. It's, you know, it's got a really high pile, yeah.
It's good, thank you. The intestines are a tube that's lined with long pile carpeting. this piece of the pile over here is where calcium's absorbed. This piece over here, vitamin D. This piece over here, iron. This piece over here, proteins. This piece over here, the good fats. All of the piles absorb different nutrients. And when food is going down the tube, it's our digestive enzymes that act like scissors. So think of food like a pearl necklace. Hydrochloric acid that's made in your stomach undoes the clasp of your pearl necklace. Now you have a string of pearls. And the digestive enzymes act like scissors to cut off each pearl of the pearl necklace. That's called digestion. And each of those pearls of the pearl necklace, there's a cheesecloth covering the long pile. Do you know the term cheesecloth? Is that common?
Yeah, like muslin, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, so there's this cheesecloth, this muslin, that's covering the piles. So only really small pieces of food, the pearls of the pearl necklace, can go through the muslin. Yeah. If it's still in bigger clumps, it can't get through, and it's got to go further down the intestines, further down the tube, where the scissors are cutting it up smaller and smaller and smaller until it's small enough to go right through the muslin. That's how we digest. So digestion are the scissors, and yeah, that's how we absorb our foods.
Okay, so that's what happens optimally.
Yes, that's what happens optimally.
Yep.
What happens with a food like wheat that our bodies cannot digest, we just don't have the scissors to break it down. Humans do not have the scissors to break it down into each pearl of the pearl necklace. No human.
Okay.
So what happens, the best that our enzymes can do is to break it into clumps of the pearl necklace. So there might be a 33 pearl clump, a 17 pearl clump, a 49 pearl clump, these big clumps of the pearl necklace. These clumps of the pearl necklace trigger inflammation in the intestines. And the inflammation causes tears in the muslin.
Okay.
When you have tears in the muslin, now larger pieces of food that haven't had enough time to be broken down by the scissors yet to be small enough pieces to go through the muslin, now larger pieces of those foods, they're called peptides, larger pieces go through the tears in the muslin into the bloodstream.
Okay.
Those are called macromolecules, big molecules. And when those macromolecules get in the bloodstream, it might be a macromolecule to chicken. It might be a macromolecule to bananas. It might be a macromolecule to any good food, any food that's healthy for you to eat. But when these macromolecules get in the bloodstream, the brain says, whoa, what's this? This is not good for me. I can't make new bone cells or brain cells out of this. I better fight this molecule that got in the bloodstream, whatever this thing is. And your brain says in your immune system, you've got Army, Air Force, Marine Corps, generals sitting around with nothing to do. And the immune system says, you, general, you now are General Chicken. Take care of that thing. Get rid of that. And General Chicken now makes these soldiers called antibodies that go after the chicken.
Okay.
And destroy that piece of chicken that's too big and shouldn't be in the bloodstream. Those are called antigens. So the immune system attacks those pieces of food. It can be any food, any good food, any healthy food. Now you have a person starting to get sick, and they go to a doctor and they do a blood test to look at 90 different foods or 100 different foods, and they find that they're allergic to 25, 30 different foods.
Yeah.
They say, oh my God, that's everything I eat. Well, of course it is. Of course it is, because your body's trying to protect you.
Yeah.
When you heal the tears in the muslin, when you heal the intestinal permeability, in 6 months, you're no longer sensitive to that food, and then you can eat that food.
Okay.
That's true with every food that you might register a sensitivity to, except one. As far as I know, there's one food that has something called memory B cells, and we won't go into that. That's just too technical. But it's a memory thing, and you never can have that food again, because if you do, you trigger the immune system right away and all the problems that can occur throughout your whole body. And that food, that one food that produces memory B cells, is wheat.
Okay.
But once you test positive for a sensitivity to wheat, it's permanent. All other foods, it's likely that you may be able to eat that food again. But with wheat, it is not possible. That is why it's such a major irritant in our health today.
Wow. So you mentioned the Harvard study last year. So that basically said that we all are susceptible to intestinal permeability when we eat wheat. Is that right?
Not that we're susceptible, we get it.
We get
intestinal permeability. Now, the slang term for that is the leaky gut.
Yeah.
But, in all fairness, we have a whole new body every 7 years, an entire new body, new brain cells, new bone cells, new skin cells. Some cells turn over really quickly, like the inside lining of the Muslim.
Yeah.
Every 3 to 5 days, we have a whole new lining to our intestines, very fast in their turnover, very, very fast. Other cells are much slower, but every 7 years, we have an entire new body. And so you eat some wheat and you tear the Muslim. It heals. And you don't have any symptoms. You don't have any pain.
Okay.
You have a muffin in the afternoon. You tear the Muslim, it heals. You have pasta for dinner, you tear the Muslim, it heals. You have toast the next morning, you tear the Muslim, it heals. You have a sandwich for lunch, you tear the Muslim, it heals. You have croutons on your salad for dinner, you tear the Muslim, it heals. You have a cookie, it tear the Muslim, it heals. You have a little piece of pie once or twice a week, you tear the Muslim, it heals. You put flour in your gravy, or you put flour in the soup to thicken the soup, you tear the Muslim, it heals. Until one day, you just do not heal anymore. And when you don't heal anymore, that's when you get the pathogenic intestinal permeability, the macromolecules coming through into the bloodstream, and then the systemic inflammation, the fire in your body begins. That's when it all begins.
Wow.
So although everyone gets tears in the Muslim every time they eat wheat, it's only when you cross the threshold that you have a problem that can manifest in other places in your body.
Okay. And when we think of the Western diet, it's very wheat focused, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the signs and symptoms that might suggest that gluten is a factor? And I guess this is at the point where you reach the threshold.
Yes, that's correct. It's when you reach the threshold. What are some of the signs and symptoms? Well, it's possible, but not common, that you get abdominal pain. Usually the people with abdominal pain when they eat wheat are people that are sensitive to celiac disease. That's one manifestation of a problem with wheat. But only 1 out of 100 people are on the celiac spectrum.
Okay.
In our society. It's much more common that someone has a non-celiac wheat sensitivity, and so that the manifestations can manifest. Well, the way they said it in the study from Italy, they have 36 centers that are designated by the government as gluten-related disorder centers. 36 of them. There's 28 that are gastroenterology centers, 4 that are pediatric centers, a couple that are allergy centers, 30 of them nationwide in Italy. And the importance of getting your diagnosis of a gluten-related disorder from one of those centers is that the government covers, they give you tax credits on your food bills if you have a diagnosis from one of those centers.
Wow.
So it's a benefit to go where the experts are. And they looked at 14,000 patients with gluten-related disorders, and they looked to see, what are the symptoms that these people get? Well, 65% of them have fatigue. over 60% of them have abnormal brain function. Or it can be joint pain, or it can be muscle pain, or it can be headaches, or it can be brain fog, it can be attention deficit, it can be kidney dysfunction, it can be reproductive system dysfunction. That the entire body, you see, if you pull at a chain, the chain breaks at the weakest link. It could be at one end, the middle, the other end. It's your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidneys. Wherever your genetic weak link is, that's where the chain is going to break.
Okay.
So if the weak link is your brain and you eat wheat and you've torn the muslin and now you've crossed the line, the threshold, and so now you have this pathogenic intestinal permeability, the leaky gut, and these macromolecules get in the bloodstream and they start triggering the inflammation, the inflammation will manifest where the weak link is. If it's your brain, you get brain symptoms. If it's your thyroid, you get thyroid symptoms like cold hands and feet,
yeah,
or hard to get up in the morning, wish you had 20 more minutes in bed, or you can't lose weight even if you don't eat for 3 days, thyroid symptoms. Or if the weak link in your chain is your gallbladder, you might get burping and belching when you eat. Or you can taste onions or bacon 2 hours after you eat it because you're not making enough bile to digest those fats. Or if the weak link in your chain is your joints, you wake up in the morning and you're stiff until you get in the shower to loosen up. It's unfortunate. People like to say, well, what's the symptom if I have a problem with wheat? And because we think one problem, one symptom.
Yeah.
You have to get out of that thinking. You need a more global thinking, a big picture thinking, because the answer is wherever the weak link is, that's where your problem's going to manifest, wherever the weak link is.
Wow. Goodness me. So, I mean, that's really useful for people to understand, because a lot of people, like you said, think it's one clear symptom.
Exactly.
And could you explain the difference between celiac disease and then the non-celiac wheat sensitivity?
Yes, of course. Celiac disease, if you carry the genes for it, and 93% of people in the most recent studies will have one of two genes. It's called DQ2 or DQ8, the number 2 or the number 8. But 7% will have other celiac genes. There's a family of genes that if you have them, and if you eat wheat, we know for sure that you are extremely vulnerable to developing celiac disease. And it can happen when you're 2 years old, you get the diagnosis, 22 years old, or 62 years old. It just depends on when you cross that threshold and you lose oral tolerance that we talked about with the Muslim. Whenever you lose oral tolerance, now it's going to manifest as celiac disease, if that's the genes that you have.
Okay.
If you do not have the genes for celiac disease and you have the genes for thyroid problems, I'm just giving you an example, then when those macromolecules of wheat get into the bloodstream because you've lost oral tolerance and you have intestinal permeability, and those big molecules get in the bloodstream and your immune system makes antibodies to wheat, those antibodies are going through the bloodstream looking for wheat wherever it is. You know, and there's no highway, there's no lanes of traffic in the bloodstream. It's just a highway. Everything's going in one direction, but everything bounces into each other. You know, there's no organized lanes of traffic. So you've got these antibodies with high-powered rifles, and they're firing their chemical bullets called cytokines at the wheat molecules, wherever they see them. Just think of Arnold Schwarzenegger with his head out of a Humvee, and he's got a big submachine gun. Here in California, we call him the Governator. He's got those big dark glasses on, and he's firing these chemical bullets wherever he sees wheat. Now, the structure of these macromolecules, it's many pearls of the pearl necklace, many amino acids together. And the most common one is called alpha-glycan. It's 33 amino acids long. And there are others that are 17 or 14 or 42. There are many. But the 33 is the most common one. So if you've got General 33, he's making antibodies to the 33 pearl peptide of wheat, he's going through the bloodstream looking for the 33 amino acids. And I'm going to say A, A, B, C, D.
Okay.
Now it's actually 33 letters long, but I'm just going to say A, A, B, C, D. So he's looking for A, A, B, C, D in the bloodstream. And he's over there, and he's firing these chemical bullets while he's bouncing around in the bloodstream. Now, the surface of your thyroid is facing the bloodstream. It's made up of proteins and fats. And the proteins on the surface of the thyroid facing the bloodstream include in their hundreds of amino acids, hundreds of pearls that make the pearl necklace of the thyroid, the pearls of the pearl necklace include AABCD. So Arnold, who's looking for AABCD in the bloodstream, says, oh, look over there. And he fires his chemical bullet at the thyroid.
Wow.
Because he's got these dark glasses on, you know, he really can't see clear, and he's looking for AABCD. That and that mechanism is called molecular mimicry.
Okay.
That the surface of the thyroid mimics the structure of the peptide of wheat that got into the bloodstream, and your immune system is fighting that peptide of wheat. So some of the antibodies to the peptide of wheat attack your thyroid, if that's your genetic weak link in the chain. And the result is, over time, you develop autoimmune thyroid disease or autoimmune liver disease or autoimmune brain disease called MS or Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is autoimmune. It goes on for years. Nobody gets Alzheimer's in their 60s or 70s. They get Alzheimer's in their 20s or 30s. It just takes decades of killing off brain cells a little bit at a time until there's so much damage it becomes obvious, and then the speed of killing off the brain cells gets faster. But the mechanism of our diseases goes on for years before there's enough tissue damage that you have symptoms.
Yeah.
That is why the most important thing that someone can do in their life to stay healthy and to make sure there's not something cooking in their body, in other words, their tissues being destroyed, damaged, the most important thing that they could do is to take a look at this thing called autoimmunity and ask your doctor, do I have any autoimmune mechanisms going on in my body right now? That is why I am doing an autoimmune summit. Actually, it's called a docuseries. It's coming up in September, and it's going to be online forever for people. But I've been traveling the world interviewing experts. I came to London three times, King's College, Oxford, and London proper, and interviewing world experts on this whole field of this concept that autoimmune diseases, including celiac, but also rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis and multiple sclerosis and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and diabetes, autoimmune diseases, this is the mechanism that starts them all off, is that you tear the Muslim.
Yeah.
You tear the Muslim, and then these big molecules, these macromolecules, get into your bloodstream. Your immune system tries to fight these macromolecules of the food and the chemicals that we're exposed to. And your immune system gets confused because AABCD in the food looks just like your thyroid. And your immune system starts attacking your thyroid. And give it enough time, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, now you have autoimmune thyroid disease. Or now you have MS. Or now you have Parkinson's. It just takes time, but it's a decades-long process.
Wow.
And the most important thing that someone could do is to realize that every forkful of what you put in your mouth is inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. There's no neutrals except healthy water.
Yeah.
So the first thing is stop throwing gasoline on the fire. Stop eating the foods that your immune system is fighting. They may be very good foods for you, but if your immune system is fighting them, you got a problem. And then the next thing is to look and see, where are the weak links in my chain where my immune system is already attacking my own body? And most of your doctors don't know much about checking for these early stages. It's called the prodromal period. They don't have the facilities. They don't have the tests available to check for them. But laboratories are coming out now that have the tests available. And we'll talk about this in our summit in great detail. The summit is called Betrayal. The tests are coming out now so that people can have a test done and see where's the weak link in my chain and then take preventive action. This is like a wake-up call. This is like, well, I feel fine. Well, yes, everybody feels fine until their brain starts going down on them. And the brain doesn't start going down until you've killed off enough tissue that there's no choice. The brain's going down. Now you have symptoms. So you cannot be fooled by feeling okay. You really want to look and see what's going on in my body right now.
So a lot of the listeners will be parents out there, and they might be thinking about how this affects children and children's development. Could you touch on that, Tom?
Oh, my goodness. It's the very same concept, and it starts in utero for some people. And, you know, the easy examples for a functional medicine practitioner, the easy examples are children with colic or children that have eczema, you know, things like that. Those are reactions to foods. There's something you're putting in their stomach and their intestines they don't like. You know, they just don't like it. Well, I'm only giving them breast milk. So mom is eating something that's not good for mom, but it doesn't make her sick, so she doesn't know. And we have had great success in that kind of a situation by putting mom on a wheat-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, nutrient-dense diet, healthy foods, but just stop eating wheat and stop eating milk and just notice in 3 weeks your child's colic is much better. They're not screaming in pain anymore. Or for children, I'll tell you something that happened 2 weeks ago. I was in Seattle, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and we were sitting outside having a really nice meal with some friends, and there was a family sitting at another table, and I caught this woman's eye, and she was just looking at me kind of startled. And then a little while later they got up to leave, and she walked over and said, "Excuse me, are you Dr. O'Brien?" And I said, "Yes." And she started crying right there. Started crying, and I stood up right away, you know, when she asked me if I was Dr. O'Brien. And I just put my hand on her shoulder, and her husband walked over. And then she started sobbing and said, "You saved our daughter's life."
Whoa.
And here's this lovely 14-year-old girl, a smaller girl, shorter girl. And she said, "Our daughter was diagnosed with idiopathic juvenile arthritis when she was 3 years old." That means the child's got really bad joint pain and nobody knows why.
Wow.
And they put her on steroids. They tried many different medications. Nothing worked, but they put her on steroids. That's all they could do was steroids. And the result was that they tried other drugs. They didn't work. When they'd stop the steroids, she would get pain again. And they kept her on steroids for 11 years. No, excuse me, 10 years. Goodness. For 10 years, she was on steroids. And if that's the only thing that works, you want to keep your daughter alive. You want to keep her out of pain, of course. But the effect of long-term use of steroids is that it stunts your growth. You don't grow. It's called a failure to thrive. There are many problems. It weakens your immune system, suppresses the immune system. Lots of other things can happen. And they heard my talk about gluten. They heard the Gluten Summit, and where I interviewed 29 of the world leaders. And they immediately decided right then to go gluten-free. Her pain was completely gone in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And this was 6 months later. And here's this beautiful young girl sitting there, just smiling and beaming at me. And, well, it put tears in my eyes also.
Wow, that's amazing. Good to see.
So with your children, it's important to know that any symptoms they have, any symptoms from skin, meaning acne, eczema, psoriasis. Vitiligo is when you lose the color in your skin, you got these white spots. Those are all autoimmune in nature. Any skin condition, any brain dysfunction condition, any pain condition, any, irrespective of how fancy a name it has for the diagnosis, irrespective of that, what you put in your mouth fuels the fire of inflammation that triggers the symptoms we get. They're all inflammatory symptoms. If it's your kidney, you get kidney symptoms. If the weak link in your chain is your thyroid, you get thyroid symptoms. If it's your brain, you get brain symptoms, but it's inflammation. Every forkful is either inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. So a critical component of what you do to take care of yourself is to find out what foods really work for me and what foods are giving me a problem, even though I can't tell that they're giving me a problem.
All right. Goodness, wow. And obviously, you know, if we're talking about children's development, then their performance in school could be massively affected.
Exactly, exactly. Attention deficit, all the way through Asperger's and autism, that many, many of these children do better when they go wheat-free. I'll tell you a study in the Journal of Attention Disorders that was published in 2006. They looked at 130 kids that had this sensitivity to wheat, and they all had been diagnosed with attention deficit. 130 kids. They put them all on a gluten-free diet. Every child or their parents, how many? Every child or their parents reported improvement in all 12 markers of attention deficit. Fails to pay attention, interrupts frequently, blurts out answers, disrupts the class, can't sit still. Every symptom improved in every child within 6 months. And the authors of the study, they completed their study by saying, we have no hesitancy in recommending that every child with attention deficit just be checked for a sensitivity to wheat, as the sensitivity to wheat could be the trigger causing the problem.
Wow. Now,
that is not fanaticism. That is good science. You just check to see if you're fueling the fire to what's causing your child or your brain dysfunction. Just check. You just have to check properly to see if this is the trigger that's causing those symptoms.
So, I mean, aside from the sort of common containing, you know, foods that we're familiar with that contain gluten, like pasta, bread, cakes, those sorts of foods, are there any surprising foods that have hidden gluten that people don't often know about?
Oh, my goodness. The Play-Doh, you know, for kids that play with Play-Doh. Yes. Cosmetics, some lipsticks, some vitamins. If they don't say gluten-free, don't buy them. It's in so many different, it's thickeners, it's used in flavorings, it's used in gums, it's used in candy. A nutritionist in London, a friend of mine, good friend of mine, who's a celiac, and she was doing very well on a gluten-free diet, applying all the principles, and she noticed that she started going into an exasperation, and she was getting sick. And she couldn't figure out why. And she wasn't eating anything different at all. And it took a while of investigation to figure out what it was. She had to scrutinize everything, even the things that she thought were safe. And what she found was that some of the candies that were in the dish in the doctor's office where she worked, they had changed the manufacturer for the candy. And it looked like the same candy, but the new manufacturer was putting wheat in it. Whoa. And she'd have a candy every once in a while, and that was triggering her symptoms.
Goodness.
So you really have to be meticulous in investigating where you're getting your exposures.
Yeah. And do you think that medical professionals in the US recognise gluten sensitivity as a condition? And do you recognise that in other parts of the world?
That's a really good question. You know, there is this opinion that is diminishing, but there are still those that hold to it strongly. You know, when you have an opinion, you're very strong with it. Most people are. That a gluten sensitivity without celiac disease is a fad. And all I could do is to keep myself from laughing when I hear that, because what that means is that the person, the doctor, has not gone to the literature and read the literature.
Nah.
Because, you know, if you go to pubmed.gov, pubmed.gov, stands for Public Medical Information. And let me just do this for you right now while I'm here.
Okay.
And it's the National Library of Medicine. And if you type in non-celiac gluten sensitivity into their search engine, they've got 15 million articles there.
Wow.
For you to look at. And if you type in non-celiac gluten sensitivity, there are 588 articles that come up. If you type in just gluten sensitivity, because non-celiac gluten sensitivity is a term, a category in itself, if you type in gluten sensitivity, there are, my computer is 1,422 studies that come up. If you type in non-celiac wheat sensitivity, which is a new term that many scientists are using because it's more inclusive than just the protein gluten, and you type that one in, there's 122 studies that come up. So it keeps going up more.
Yes.
And more.
Yeah.
And more studies are showing that, of course, you can have a sensitivity to wheat without having celiac disease. You can have a sensitivity to any food where the macromolecule has gotten through the tears in the muslin. You can have a sensitivity to any food. And wheat just happens to be a very common one.
Okay. So I'm sure a lot of the listeners would like maybe more questions answered. And I know that you've put a lot of information together out there. Could you tell people how they can access more information from you?
Of course. There's three areas that I would suggest. The first is my new book that is now out. It's called The Autoimmune Fix, and it's on Amazon, and I'm very proud of it. It's 30 years of my work, and it took like 5 years to write.
Wow.
It. I'm so bad as a, you know, I'm not a writer. Well, I am now, but it took a while to learn how to do this. It's called The Autoimmune Fix, and I've been blessed that a lot of really good comments from my peers and scientists out in the world that this is very understandable, and I've taken very complicated concepts and put them into everyday understandable language, like you pull it a chain or the Muslim covering and AABCD.
Yeah.
And things like that, so people can really understand this and then have rational conversations with their doctors about it.
Excellent.
That's the first place. It's called The Autoimmune Fix. The second is our website is thedr.com, the DR, the doctor, thedr.com. Many audio visuals there, many interviews. We have gifts for your group here today who are listening, that if you go to thedr.com and if you go to, let's see, there's a special website for that. Or a special link, it's thedr.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S, /gifts. And we've got a number of handouts there you for free. The first one is a really important one. It's called The Conundrum of Gluten Sensitivity, Why the Tests Are Often Wrong. That your doctors don't know, because the laboratories don't tell them about the accuracy of the tests and what kind of tests you really need to do. So this handout explains it, and it's for the general public, but also for your doctors. You can take it to your doctors, and then the reference studies are there, so they can go and read the literature and see, oh, he's right about this. And these tests are, the more comprehensive tests are available now in Great Britain and in Ireland. So you can get the more comprehensive tests there. Most doctors just don't know about it yet. That's the second place you can go, is the dr.com/gifts. And the third place you can go is theglutensummit.com. Theglutensummit.com. And there you can listen to 29 of the world's experts talk about this thing with wheat and how it might manifest, how it might cause your cardiovascular disease, from the world's leading vascular biologist, how it might cause brain deterioration from the world's leading functional medicine neurologist, how it might cause musculoskeletal pain from the grandfather physician who came up with the whole concept of paleo diets. So the world experts, I mean, it's really fab. I'm so proud of it. And we've had over 200,000 people listen to this now.
Yeah, I'm one of them, and it is absolutely fantastic. And it's a great resource to go back to as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And the fourth one, there's four. The fourth one is the new series that will be coming out in a couple of weeks, Betrayal, the series. And that is where I've interviewed world leaders on autoimmunity specifically, and this whole mechanism that we've just talked about here today.
Wow. So thank you so much, Tom. I'm sure the listeners have really appreciated your comments, and you've explained things really, really clearly. So thank you so much for that. And maybe we'll get another chance to speak to you again on UK Health Radio at some other point.
Well, Catherine, it would be a pleasure, and it's an honor to be the inaugural show for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope we are setting the stage here.
Yeah.
So that people that come on, your guests come on, and help your listeners understand, it's a really big picture out there now. There's so much information.
Yeah.
And the bottom line message to today is the foundation of all of it. The foundation is what you put in your mouth every day. The decisions you make about your diet and lifestyle will determine your level of health. So with all the great information you're going to hear about in the future on this show, it's what the decisions you make about your diet and your lifestyle that determines what happens in your life.
Absolutely. I hope you enjoyed today's show on UK Health Radio, all about gluten. A huge thank you to Janine, Tim and Dr. Tom O'Brien. And please do tune in soon for my next show.